How do you do? Come with us now and you'll meet a man who has been a ranch hand, lumberjack, mule skinner, top loader, heavy equipment driver, storekeeper, salesman, realtor, and chaplain. He was good at all of them, but they were only preliminaries. What he does now has far more meaning, because his heart and mind and life have been unshackled. It was the cold, gray afternoon of Thanksgiving Day. A number of poorly dressed men were enjoying the shelter and warmth of the Great Falls, Montana rescue mission. An hour earlier, they'd enjoyed an excellent dinner. They looked up to study a new arrival, a man who stood with his shoulders hunched from cold or pain or both.
Hey, you should have been here sooner, buddy. Dinner's over.
I don't want dinner. I want help.
Hey, Mr. Ross, there's a guy here who says he wants help.
Well, he's come to the right place. What can we do for you, friend?
I need hot water to soak my hand.
That's easy done. Let's see the hand.
Well, here. Don't grab it. It hurts.
I should think it would hurt. Fingers all puffy and discolored. Hey, you come with me. We'll have it in hot water right away. Get your shirt off.
Okay. Yes. You'll have to help me button it when I put it back on.
This water's pretty hot. You may want to let it cool a minute.
Well, we'll see. It has to be hot to draw.
Man, what's that under your arm?
Huh?
You lift it a little.
Well.
You know that there are two angry red streaks under your arm?
I know it don't feel good.
I guess not. Here, you get your shirt back on. We're going to go to the hospital.
Mister, I got no money for a hospital.
Don't talk to me about money. Just put your shirt on and we'll go. Doctor, this man brought his problem to the mission, but he needs more help than we can give him.
Mr. Ross, this is Thanksgiving Day. My family's waiting dinner for me. If the hand is swollen, soak it in warm water.
No, Doctor. You take a look. Take a good look.
Oh, I see. You're right. He needs a lot more help.
Hey, what is it, Doc?
Mister, you better start praying. Right now, you got less than a 50-50 chance. This is blood poisoning. And if those red streaks reach your heart, you're dead. Nurse, call my family. Say I won't be home for dinner.
From Chicago, crossroads of America, the Pacific Garden Mission presents Unshackled, the unique dramatic series that tells the true stories of real people. For more than a century, Chicago's old lighthouse has been a place of help for those in trouble. Now, help takes many forms. Food, clothing, lodging, medical and dental care, and counsel, all free. And the only eligibility requirement is need. Since 1950, these programs have gone out around the earth in ever-widening circles to be heard by people in almost every nation. And today, there are very few places where Unshackled cannot be heard. This global outreach has come to be as some listening have made it their business to help make it possible for others to hear the program that makes you face yourself and think. The man whose life was threatened by blood poisoning lived. Had it happened before 1963, however, the end would have been death. In that year, the Great Falls Mission was established. The man who has been superintendent from that time to now was well prepared by experience to deal with the men the mission serves. The sometime construction workers and timber beasts, the drifters and drunkards, the down on their luck and out in the cold. As a veteran of the logging and construction camps and the harvest fields, he speaks their language, but not, thankfully, in the vocabulary that he once used. By the way, he's the only man I have ever met who has driven a 27 mule hitch, not for show, but for business. You'll come to know him, too, as we bring you the true story of Harold Ross, right now on Unshackled. I first met Harold in the airport at Great Falls. As he came toward me, I saw a squarely built man of slightly under average height. He wore Western boots and a hat to match. His sharp blue eyes looked me over before he spoke.
You must have walked right past me coming off the airplane. Guess I was looking for a younger man.
Oh, well, that's what we get for trying to get by without new publicity photographs. What's our schedule?
I want to take you through the mission, then dinner and early to bed. Got a busy day tomorrow.
Harold Ross is a man in whom is no guile. There used to be many of his kind in the West, and now the supply is not quite as plentiful. When we got around to talking about Harold's early life, he continued to be plain-spoken.
I grew up in a godless home. No prayer, no Bible. We rarely went to church. I was born in the state of Washington, but when I was 9, we moved to a small ranch in Canada, in Alberta. I didn't get past the 7th grade, but one thing I learned very early was how to work. I remember the winter I was 18, I worked for a neighbor who had pneumonia. And during that time, the temperature went down to 40 below with a strong northeast wind. Every day I had to take the team and a sleigh and haul 2 or 3 loads of hay from a stack out on the prairie. It was so cold that at least 3 times during the forking up of a load, I had to set fire to a fork full of hay behind a stack to warm my hands and the fork handle. That was cold. I began to see that I'd never get any place where I was, so the following fall, I headed for the logging camps in the state of Washington. There wasn't enough work on my dad's place for both me and my younger brother, and he was already older than I had been when I started hitting the collar.
What does that mean, hitting the collar?
It's what a horse does when it leans into a load and starts to pull.
Well, how did you find things when you got to the logging camps?
Well, for one thing, they were no place for a teenage boy. I turned out to be a fast learner when it came to cigarettes, chewing tobacco, moonshine, liquor, and cards. Also, at bad language. Bad language is a habit that grows on a person like any other bad habit. I didn't have any idea how bad it had gotten with me until one rainy day late in the fall. We were working with World War I caterpillars to skid logs, and they were awkward. The rain had me soaked through, and I was miserable, and said so. Finally, the woods boss, Charlie Oliver, heard all he cared to listen to.
Ross? Ross, I tell you, I heard them all up here in the woods, but you're the worst man to cuss that I've ever seen.
After a while, I was made a top loader. That was kind of a responsibility for a kid.
Harold, what does a top loader do?
Well, at that time, we were using horses and sleighs to get the logs out of the woods. And because the route was downhill, the horses could handle a load, but only if it was balanced just right. The top loader had to see to it that when the last log was in place, the whole thing was so well in balance that he could stand up there and rock the load by just shifting his own weight. So far as I know, I was top loader on the last big sleigh load of logs that went out in that country. After that, it was trucks and cats.
Well, did that put you out of work?
Oh, no, not for a minute it didn't. See, I was one of the first to drive truck in those same woods with a 6-wheel, 10-ton Marlin. Later, they switched me to a smaller truck that pulled a trailer, and the load was half on each vehicle. Going down a mountain with that one, that was an experience. There were no brakes on the trailer, and the truck had them on the rear wheels only. And the only way you could hold it was in compound low and hope the axle or the transmission wouldn't go. The winter I worked in the woods for Cliff Anderson, I got more responsibility than I bargained for.
Hey, move over here. Come on here.
What do you want, Matt?
Harold, I'm going to drive into the store. How'd you like to ride along?
Okay.
That's fine with me. I'm just about out of chawing tobacco.
There goes another one.
Yes, sir. They're harder and harder to get at. I figure we've already taken off the best of the logging.
Yeah. That's part of what's worrying me. Get in. I'll tell you about it on the way down the mountain. You see, I'm going to have to cut the men's wages.
Why?
Well, I'm just not making it. Each month, they run a little farther behind.
Cutting wages is a poor way to make it. Men just won't work their best. You'll be right back where you were, or even worse.
Soon after that, we were loading logs in the woods when Cliff had a heart attack. I carried him half a mile to the cookhouse, and Mrs. Anderson brought the car and drove him to the hospital. That evening, he came back up to the camp.
Harold, the doctor tells me I'll have to get down out of this high altitude if I want to live.
So what are you going to do?
Well, I guess I'll do as the doc says.
And all this? The camp and the crew and the logging?
I'm turning it over to you, Harold. Just do the best you can.
Well, that worked out better than we expected. Next day, I called a crew together, revamped the logging, and announced that everyone was getting a raise in pay. Now, here's an interesting thing. We made more money for the boss every day. Enough so that he could pay off his debts on supplies and equipment, buy a home on a river, buy a new car for a trip back east, and then there was still enough for the purchase of a sawmill. Summers, I went into the country south of Spokane for the wheat harvest. First year, I hired out to a man who had a combine that made an 18-foot cut. That was the biggest one I'd ever seen.
Well, I still don't know how well you drive, but it's easy to see you've worked around critters. That's about the fastest I've ever seen this bunch go in the harness.
Oh, I can drive. I'll say I've never before looked at the backsides of 27 mules all in one hitch.
Take your choice. You can drive the mules, or you can ride and run the combine. Either one you don't want, I'll do.
If it's all the same to you, I'll drive.
Well, they're all yours. And there, my friend, is the wheat. Now, let's get moving.
During the next few years, Harold Ross worked at a dozen different jobs, most of them involving some kind of heavy equipment. He moved earth and logs, broke rock with a jackhammer, built roads, and dug tunnels with dynamite. It was during this time that one gentle, tender thing happened. I'll let Harold tell about it.
A cousin of mine had two fine little boys. One of them became very sick with an infection of the bone marrow. I was working nearby, and each morning on my way to work, I stopped at the house to see the child. And he always looked forward to my visit. And then one morning, I went into the room and asked, "Sonny, how are you feeling this morning?" And he had been lying with his face to the wall. But at the sound of my voice, he rolled toward me and lifted his arms to put a hand on either side of my face. He smiled. A beautiful smile. And then his hands slipped down. And the boy was dead. But that smile always stayed in my mind. I still say that was the smile of the Lord. The Great Depression was beginning to ease up a little when I had an opportunity to buy a store at Kettle Falls, some 85 miles northwest of Spokane. I had to cash in my life insurance to buy, but the Grand Coulee Dam was being built nearby and prospects seemed good. Well, in that place, things began to go well for me, and then I discovered something new to worry about. It seemed that every time someone in the town died, I was asked to be a pallbearer. Guess I've heard as many funeral sermons as anyone, and I've had to help with the digging, too.
Oh, hot day for having to dig this way, huh?
Tis for a fact. You know, this is the fourth one of these I've been involved with this summer.
Well, That's what you get for being what they call a prominent figure in the community.
You were a pallbearer at the one last week.
Yeah.
You notice what the preacher said about old Fred?
Oh, he's something like, this man is going to meet the Lord with complete confidence, trusting in the grace of God and the shed blood of Christ.
That's it. That's just what he said. You figure that's true.
Well, Fred used to be quite a rough-living, rough-talking man. And then a few years ago, something happened.
Yeah, I know. He settled down. Quit drinking, threw away that corncob pipe.
The biggest change was in his personality. Now, Fred had always been a pretty rough guy, but in the last few years, it seemed like he was getting to have a nicer personality.
Quiet. And kind of gentle.
Yeah, that's it, that's it.
Do you think that's why the preacher said Fred went with confidence? Because he is living right?
Nope.
Why not?
Well, I asked him one time if he was trying to earn his way to heaven. He said no. He said that impossible. And the way he told us, he was saved. But he said he wasn't saved because of the better way he lived. Now, according to him, the better way he lived was because he was saved.
I don't think I understand that.
Oh, I don't have to, do you?
Yeah, maybe I should. You know, each time I carry the casket or help dig a grave or lower the box into the ground, I get to thinking that one of these days, the one in the box is going to be me.
You know, me? I try not to think about things like that.
So do I, but lately I can't seem to put them out of my mind.
Hey, do you believe in the Bible and God and Jesus?
Yes, I do.
What about heaven and hell?
Oh, I believe they're real. You know something? I'm not ready to die. If I died tonight, I'd go straight to hell. I remember that while I was doing bookwork in my little office in the back of the store, I found I was worrying about the same thing all over again. And I thought, what would people think if I were to join a church? And then I had another thought. What difference does it make? It's what God thinks that counts. Well, that was a bad week. I went back and forth from one opinion to the other. Nights I found I had trouble sleeping. Nothing like this had ever happened to me before.
Harold Ross was reaching the point where something had to break. In a moment, you'll learn where the break occurred and what happened afterward. Now, though, we want to look at a couple of letters from listeners. Look at them with Harry Saulnier, who is superintendent of Pacific Garden Mission. Harry, what would you like to share with us?
Here's a very touching letter, Jack. It reads in part, "The first time I heard you, I was lying flat on my back in an empty house. My wife had left me and taken our little boy with her. I was in the very depths of despair and considering suicide. I felt there was no hope for me. I desperately needed to hear good news. Your program helped supply that good news, that no matter how badly I had failed, that God, through his Son, loved me dearly, that he is quick to forgive. That was 5 years ago. Today I'm back on my feet, productive and happy. I know the Lord walks with me."
That's beautiful. Now, here's a short one. It says, "Hi, I want to thank you very much for your radio program. I have been a Christian for 8 years. I'm trusting the Lord to lead my life. We live in a log cabin which we built ourselves on a creek in Alaska. We praise God for such a beautiful place." So, you see, we get into all sorts of unexpected places with these programs. Now you seem to have another letter ready, Harry.
Yes, I do. It's from a listener who says he is retarded, but who seems to feel that he is blessed even so.
Will you read a little of it?
Yes, indeed. It's from a young man who must have some very fine radio and recording equipment. His name is Jesse, and he lives in Alabama. He says, in part, "A long time ago, I decided to turn away from God because he wouldn't give me better eyesight ability. When I turned away, I made the statement, I don't have bad eyesight. Listening to Unshackled showed me that God is trying to talk to me. What got me to come back to God was your program made me debate with myself about God and to accept the fact that I do have bad eyesight. I'm retarded, but I do have a home and food and a family that loves me. Realizing that made me want to come back to God.
And that is a very beautiful letter. Friend, we'd appreciate hearing from you, especially if these programs have in some way been used of God to make a significant difference in your life or that of someone you know. Address Unshackled, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. That's Unshackled, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. If you listen in Europe, address Unshackled in care of Transworld Radio, 175 Tower Bridge Road, London, Southeast 1, England. If you listen in the Philippines, address Unshackled, care of the Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467, Manila.
In my state of mind, I did something that hadn't crossed my mind in years, and that was to go to church. I'm not sure the regular preacher would have been able to get through to me, but that morning there was a stranger preaching, an old gray-haired man who pulled no punches as he stated the gospel.
Now, in the world today, there are a lot of people who think they're perfectly all right because they don't commit the grosser sort of sins. But the law of God emphasizes, don't worship false gods. Well, how many have not made an idol of their car or their business, their children or their bank account, the clothing they wear or the house they live in, their good reputation or even their evil reputation? How many have not coveted that which is their neighbor's? Now, the Bible says we all have sinned. But the good news is that the remedy for our sin was provided by God in His Son, Jesus Christ. When we recognize how desperate our situation is, and when we trust in Christ alone for salvation, we have forgiveness and the gift of a new life for all eternity. Friend, if the Spirit of God is speaking now to you, however still and small the voice, don't say no to God. Don't reject Jesus.
I was very reluctant, but at the altar call I went forward. As I did so, I knew it was good. The Lord truly walked with me. Now, that preacher had said that as we trust in Christ, we receive a new life. It was true. I found first that I was suddenly hungry for the Bible. Every night I sat up late reading the Word of God. 4 years later, I felt the Lord was nudging me toward Bible school. And at last I prayed, "Oh God, if you want me to go there, send a buyer for the store. But only one ready to buy for cash will do." Well, 2 weeks later, the store had been sold out. Although I was 40 years old and my education had ended with the seventh grade, the doors were opened and I was admitted to Bible school. The work was so hard for me that many evenings this old mule skinner bowed his head and cried. Even so, I completed 3 years and then went out into the world of business. First as a salesman, later in real estate. But although I did well, I knew this couldn't be where the Lord would leave me. I began teaching classes at a rescue mission, and then was asked to serve as assistant superintendent. And there, at Boise for 5 months helping with the mission, I got the preparation I needed when in April of 1963, I drove over the snow-covered mountains to Great Falls, Montana, to open the first rescue mission in that city.
There began for Harold Ross and for Great Falls a time of growth and achievement. At every step, it now seems clear, the hand of God was guiding and protecting in choice of a location, in finding materials for remodeling and improvements, and in reaching the troubled people in need of help. When the mission had been in operation a while, a grocer asked Harold to come and pick up slightly wilted produce for the mission free. And while he was there, Harold heard an interesting statement from the grocer.
"Mr. Ross, since you've opened up here in town, I've, I've noticed a marked decrease in vandalism and shoplifting in my store.
Well, that's because we're feeding the people who caused you trouble. And I hope God is talking to them through our gospel services.
Well, you plan on coming here every day. We'll always have some produce for you.
Another time, Harold ordered a sizable amount of building material. A short time later, he went into the supply company and was met by the owner.
Mr. Ross, I see your check is for the full amount. Well, that ain't necessary. You can pay a little at a time.
Oh, no, indeed. Lord gave me this to pay the bill. He won't give me any more until I do pay it. I could tell many such stories, but the really important ones are about the people who come to us knowing of their material needs and who, when those have been met, stay to put their trust in Christ. That's what our mission's all about, helping the whole man, body, soul, and spirit. Now, I was 35 when I was led to Christ, 40 when I entered Bible school, and I'm certainly a long way from being a spring chicken today. But God has restored the years that the locust hath eaten. These last years have been much more wonderful than anything that went before. It's never too late in life to trust in Christ. But in a world in which we never know what tomorrow may bring, waiting even one day until tomorrow is taking a terrible chance. Today is the day of salvation.
What Harold says is true. If you are in need of counsel, you may get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Someone who is concerned about you is waiting. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. If you listen in Europe, you may address Unshackled, care of Transworld Radio, 175 Tower Bridge Road, London, Southeast 1, England. If you listen in the Philippines, you may address Unshackled in care of the Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467, Manila. Please write to us this week and let us know that you're hearing Unshackled. We hope that you'll ask others to listen with you. While you're writing, you might write to the manager of this radio station and say, thanks very much for Unshackled. Heard in the true story of Harold Ross were Jack Bivens as Mr. Ross, with Russ Reed, Jim Andelin, Jack Callahan, Herb Graham, and Don Stroop. Original music, Lucille Becker. This is Jack O'Dell, and I've written the story as I heard it from Harold Ross. Unshackled's produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life's empty, it really can be filled to overflowing. Write to us this week. Your letters are important. And if you need spiritual help now, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Someone's waiting for your call. Area 312-922-1462. 1462.